Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg of Yerushalayim, Tolna Rebbe. He's insightful and interesting and brilliant, creative. Are you waiting for me to start? I started. I say, dearly beloved, we have gathered here this evening to officially start the shiur. Should I say that? That's always the stuff before and after.
That would be a bother down.
Yeah, would it be? I don't know about that. I don't know if it would be Avodah Zarah, but it would definitely be... I haven't yet developed like the opening, you know? I don't have like an opening.
Yeah,
like if a crone has like an ending. You know? Deeply grateful that Hanlef can pass for inviting me here this evening. And at the end, let us remember. Right? A friend has his ending. Why? I'm not there yet.
Don't do it.
Whatever. What? Shouldn't do it?
No.
I know. But if I could monetize an opening, I'd do it. You know? I got sponsors. I'd thank sponsors. I'd like to thank your hedge fund for having me here this evening. Okay. No, I had a start before. But then you made it all inorganic by hitting record after I started. Rabbi Yitzchak Menachem Weinberg is one of the unique Torah figures in Eretz Israel today. He's really an unbelievable Rebbe, a beautiful Talmud. Anybody hear the Talmud Rebbe before? Rabbi Yitzchak Menachem, he's awesome. He's so cool. I mean, it's funny to say that about a Rebbe, but he happens to be so cool, and is really unique and interesting. And tremendous Baal Avoda, and really a mechanic, a really awesome mechanic. So the Talmud Rebbe has a beautiful set of Sfarim called Heima Yenachamuni. Heima Yenachamuni. What's the Heima Yenachamuni? What's that a reference to?
A song.
A song written by? Don't say like the Jewish... Yeah, exactly. David HaMelech, by King David. He's also a great singer. Your staff and your rod. Exactly, we said Shabbos. The Tolner Rebbe's sister was very sick. She's since passed away in the Teres. And he went weekly to her home to visit her, to spend time with her. They're a very unique, interesting family. His sister was married and living in Efrat. It's like, already he tells you, you know, there's an interesting family over here. And she was sick for a while. And he would go to the house every week and give a shiur to their neighbors for zchus, for her refuah. And this sefer, these farm, are a collection of those shiurim that he gave in his sister and brother-in-law's house, Sister Alea Sholem and brother-in-law Yevod L'Chaim's house. Here, come on. It shows a certain side of tzaddik already that you don't often get to see in modern traditional or modern Hasidic writings. There's another brother, the Ritzel Talmud Rebbe, who lives on the same yeshuv as my sister and brother-in-law, Mavocharon. Anybody here from Mavocharon? Anybody from Shalvin? Right across the valley from Shalvin is Modi'in and Mavo Charon. It's right over what's called the Green Line, and it's a beautiful little yeshuv there, like an interesting mix of Torahic people. And the Talmud Rebbe's brother lives there. So whenever I go to my sister for Shabbos, which is not often enough, I go to the minyan that he davens at, and I sit and shmooze with him. I try to hack him a whole whatever. He wants to like not talk during davening. I went just to talk during davening because he's just like he's chock full of everything. He's just, you know. Rebbe's family. The Talmud Rebbe was mashamish by the Ger Rebbes. He was shimish by the Ger Rebbes. And one of these Yikirei Yerushalayim that really got to know Yerushalayim. In his writings, he'll in his shiurim that he gave in Efrat, he'll tell stories of Rav Kook and parables from Rav Kook, and from the Satmarov. He's one of these people who's just. He doesn't just. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. And is one of the, unfortunately, not known enough in our generation, and that's why I gave a whole hakdama now. And I hope that this will be like one step toward more people knowing about the awesome Talmud Rebbe in Yerushalayim. So in this sefer, he actually, anybody Bet Shemesh went to Reshit? Any Reshit guys over here? Ayu Yamim, huh? I used to be the only Rishi Kaisik at this show. Anyways, there's a. If anybody has teachers who live in Beit, anybody has teachers who live in Beit Shemesh, teachers from Yisemesh, Rishiva, who live in Nofei Aviv, and you went there for Shabbos. So Nofei Aviv, there was a wonderful, wonderful Ehrlich, a person named Michael Selesny, who might have worked in Camp Pest, I'm not sure. Best friend to Barry Wax, to Michael Olson, to. He was Nifter, you know, a number of years ago. And his wife, his almana, Julie Selesny, nice American girl, Julie Selesny, her parents, Limodian, whatever, I think it was instead, I'm not sure, whatever. I'm not sure. So Julie had a bunch of kids, lived in Beit Shemesh, married to a nice American YU Stern type couple. Her husband passed away, so she got remarried to the alman of the Tolna Rebbe's sister. Tolna Rebbe's sister was Nefteres, and this guy was from Efrat. So she moved to Efrat with her family, with her children, and moved with her husband. They built their home. They're building a home in Efrat, a new family. And the Tolna Rebbe comes every year to the house and gives a shir, both on his sister's yard site and on Julie's husband's yard site. It's an unbelievably beautiful story of Klal Yisrael. Not the same yard site, but in other words, to be mechabed that. Except, what I'm trying to say is, next level, extraordinary sensitivity and beautiful, open chassidus of the Baal Shem Tov. The way it can be, and the way that we're trying to bring it back. The three cardinal sins, the three ones we have to give up our life for. It costs. Those averos cost. What does it cost? What's the cost of avodah zarah? Of not doing avodah zarah? The cost of not committing adultery? The cost of maintaining one's monotheism or not taking another's life, God forbid? What's the tag machir? The cost is, you have to give up your life for it. The Torah is doresh. The Torah insists that a person go all the way, ad hasof, and give up their life rather than violate that avera. Kan nidrash ha'adam l'shalem afil b'mechir chayav. To give up our life. That's not the essence of the Avera. Rather, it's the Mechir, it's the cost of the Avera. In other words, like, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, we're in days where we're thinking about the Temple, and we're thinking about Galus HaShechina, we're thinking about the restoration, God at the center of our lives. So that the first Temple was destroyed because of the three cardinal Averas, Gilui Arayos, Avodah Zarah, and Shvichas Damim. We managed to somehow fix that and work that out. We managed to rectify that, to do tshuva. There's a process for tshuva. Tshuva was created before the world. Right? Tshuva was kodem the world. So, because Hashem says, I get it. There's going to be averos. Even really bad ones. Even really, really bad ones. So the essence of those averos are ones that can be fixed. We're able to deal with it. There's a system in place. It might not be an easy system. It could be a very heavy system. There's a system in place. The proof is, 70 years later, we restored the Beis HaMikdash and was built again. Even after Shvichas Damim, after murder. And even after adultery, God forbid. And even after Avodah Zarah. We managed to figure it out and get it together. However, Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, senseless hatred, Lumat Zot, four lines down, Yudia Sonet Chaver Lelo Siba, a Jew has like these ill will toward another person, Ein Medubar Kan Al Mechir, Avera. Look what the price tag on that Avera. Listen carefully. It's a very simple, simple thought. Churban HaMikdash, the destruction of the temple, Hulo Onesh Al Sinas Chinam. It's not a punishment. God didn't punish us by destroying the temple and sending us into exile. It's not a punishment, an Onesh. Rather, Ella Totsa'a Yeshira Shela. What's Totsa'a? It's a result. It's the reality that's created as a result of Sinas Chinam. Consequence. Consequence is a better word. Mashal Lamad Davar Damel, I'll just paraphrase these next few lines. Imagine if we're standing God forbid by an oven, someone takes our hand and Chalila forces it into an open flame. What happens? It hurts. We get burnt. You recoil in pain, and we get burnt. four lines down. Ein kan onesh. That's not a punishment. The hand is not being punished by going because it went into the flame. It's not a notion of punishment. Yesh kan metzius. There's a reality. See, so much of the talk around this time of year, during the 9 days, is mepnei chataeinu galinu meretzeinu. Because of our aveiros, we were exiled from our homeland, from our place. Because of the chet, the avon of sinas chinam, we were punished and sent away. I remember, like, when we went to Williamsburg, Virginia for vacation. Like a big vacation. I don't know, I was like 13, 12 maybe, 12. I was thrown off, our nets was 12. My brother was like 10. When we went to Williamsburg, Virginia, we drove. We went to Busch Gardens. It was amazing. On all the water rides, all the rides. It was like a 4-day vacation. My brother and I were fighting so intensely. We were so nasty. We were calling each other names and fighting each other in the car, you know, trying to dead arms. And they still do that. Everyone's busy on their phone. Like, it's not even like, they're listening to their own music. We were fighting over what music was going to be played in the car. We weren't even fighting over DVDs, you know. Fighting what music was going to be played in the car. Fighting over who sat by the window. Fighting over who, you know, got the first dibs on the snacks. Fighting. And dead arms. We were fighting so much that we left vacation early. My father said, that's it. We left. We didn't do the last day of vacation.
Is this a true story?
It's a true story. Busch Gardens. The famous Busch Gardens Michelle story. We went to Williamsburg, Virginia. And I actually was like excited to go to Williamsburg, Virginia. I was like into like whatever. Isn't that stuff? It's part agav. If anybody's got that hedge fund going, I have like a very cool idea to recreate Williamsburg. Like, you ever been there? Williamsburg, Virginia? Yeah. To recreate Williamsburg in Eretz Israel, but different stages in Jewish history. To have like real life, to have it travel through the exile of the Jewish people, and you end up like in Eretz Israel at the end. Like, you go through, it starts with like the leaving the land after the Churban, and you go through different parts of Jewish history, and you meet all these different figures. You go to the blacksmith shop, and they're doing the thing, and like the pilgrims are baking the bread, and you go to Venice. I have this whole thing. You go through the Shtetl, and through Svartikland, and Cardozo, Spain, and then you come through. I'm not going to give you too much, because it's my idea. That's my golden ticket. And then you come at the end, like in Yad Vashem, you come out, and you're in Yerushalayim, in the forest there, you come out, and like, boom, you're in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it was like, we left Busch Gardens, we left early, we missed that last day of vacation, and, I mean, my father literally, I mean, I don't know if he had tears in his eyes, but that's what it felt like. He was so disappointed in the way that we were behaving. He was so upset with the way we were behaving. It was like so disturbing to them. Here we are, like, with Mesiras Nefesh. I only realize now how much Mesiras Nefesh it must have been. The vacation days, the money, paying tuition for yeshivas. Like, it was not easy. And, like, to make this whole trip around what we wanted and drive to Virginia and the whole thing like that. And we were fighting. And we were like, it was kafui tov. And it was like this total disregard for, like, you know, why would, like, a parent and it was like such a painful, and I always looked at it as like it was a punishment, you know. We were misbehaved, we fought, we were disrespectful, I don't know, maybe we used bad language in the car or something like that. So the punishment was we had to leave vacation early. Yeah, but I've come to understand that wasn't a punishment. It was a totza'ah, it was a consequence. Two different things. In kan onesh, yesh kan metzius. Mishi ado nechneset l'toch ha'esh. Person's hand goes into the fire. Imlo, shenasa lo neis kamalav mavinu v'kibshon ha'esh. Unless a miracle happens, like when Abraham was delivered from the fiery furnace, v'yichveh is going to get burnt. V'ones kamavaratza. Whether it was accidentally bumped into the flame, or on purpose, someone forced your hand into it. Same thing. Not a punishment. Kshanachnu mishalmim b'churban beis hamikdash al sinas chinam ein ze onesh ela mahut. It's a reality. Zoi metzius. It's a reality. Shebeis hamikdash leichol iskayim. Sheyesh ben yudim sinas chinam. The temple simply cannot exist when there is sinas chinam. When there is baseless hatred and a lack of respect for other people, for other Jews. Zoi metzius shakadosh baruch hu Tava bebriya, as Hashem put into the nature of the world. Same way fire can't burn without oxygen. A temple cannot exist where there's sin askin. Beis HaMikdash Mahuto Achdus Yisrael. The essence of the temple is the ultimate expression of Jewish people being together. And if that Achdus is imploded, if that space is not one where people are able to come together, if there's not a coming together, HaMikdash, Churban HaMikdash, Yitotza Hechrechit. Explains a couple of proofs in Halacha. Klal Yisrael comes up, different levels of tumah that we don't experience during the time of Regel, the Regalim, because during the time of Regel, or during the Regalim, all of Am Yisrael were together. People didn't complain, there's no fighting, people were able to like open their homes and tolerate other people and enjoy the company of others. And it's called Kol Yisrael Chaverim, Ir Shechuba Layachta, a city of togetherness, a city of oneness. So therefore there's certain types of tumah that didn't express themselves because there was no vacuum for that. It was filled with connectivity. Tells a story of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe. Right after the Six-Day War, which, you know, anybody connected all? Anybody connected to a little bit of Jewish history? Six-Day War is a big year, 50th year, the reunification of Yerushalayim. So I can't tell you for sure, but I have a very strong sense that I was alive during that time in some way. I have a visceral reaction since I was young to anything related to Six-Day War. Books and books and books and books. Since I was a kid, I couldn't stop watching like reels of the videos. Yom HaShoah is still like my day. It's my one of my favorite days of the year. Maybe my favorite day. Machzir Shechinasa L'Tzion. You know Yom HaShoah? Shlomo said that, you know, the whole world in 1967 it was called the Summer of Love. There was a tremendous awakening of like yearning to fix the world, yearning to change the world, revolution, peace. This whole, you know, we're right here, we're down the road from Bethel, from Woodstock. There's an amazing groundswell of yearning to make the world a better place, for people to come together with music, with healing, with joy. Now, it's not that it was drawing necessarily from the side of Kedusha, but in the world of Keser, of Ratzon, of desire. Where did that come from? Where did that hundreds of thousands of young people say, we want the world to be different than it was before? We want something to change. My mother was there. My mother was in Woodstock. We want the world to change. We want there to be peace. We don't want there to be war. We want the world to be whole. We want people to live together. We want there to be... Right? That summer of love in 1967 came on the heels of the reunification of Yerushalayim. Shlomo said that when Yerushalayim came back together, when the city was reunited, Ir Shechubra LeYachdav, it opened up a great channel of love in the world, a great channel of Achdus in the world. That people from all faiths and backgrounds and races wanted to just get together. Now, that potential, that Kedusha, fell to the side of Klipa. It fell into a place that was not Mitzad Kedusha, not in the Holy Expression. I mean, Rabbi Freifeld has described that. Rabbi Freifeld was standing on the road. You know the Maisa? Rabbi Freifeld was upstate, in the Ost Desha. You know, they had a bungalow for Shayasha. Freifeld went outside in his rabbinic garb, in his long coat, and his rekel, and stood out there for hours and hours and hours, waiting. Thousands of cars were driving upstate to Bethel Woods, right here. This is where it was. Yazgur's farm, right over here. 15-20 is right here. I go there every summer and say Tikkun Klal the past few weeks. No, I'm being serious. It's a place of unbelievable potential. A place of incredible potential and fire. An unbelievable vacuum of holiness that was created because imagine if someone had gotten up there and said, there's one God. Imagine. Richie Haven started playing Freedom. People were yearning for Olam Acheres, for something that was beyond Kalim. They wanted a better world. You know, Crosby, Stills, and Nash would describe that feeling. You know, by the time they got to Woodstock, there was 500,000 people there. And they literally imagined, said like, you know, they had visions of fighter jets turning into butterflies. Okay, there's a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drawing. There's a lot of dimyon. You can't be mazalzel of the world of dimyon. Dimyonos, imagination, is what gives people the potential to see the world in a different way. It was not Mitzara Kedusha. But that potential is unbelievable. Rav Freifeld was standing outside, just that they said that these are all Jewish kids. These are Jewish kids. My mother said, everybody she knew, she went to Woodstock. Everybody. They're all Jews. They're all Jews. You know? You know? You know, the joke in the ashrams in the late 60s and 70s, all the swamis, they're all Jews. All Jews. This is what Shlomo was doing. Going, where do you think Chaim David lives in Aruba? Where do you think Chaim David was? How do you think he found Shlomo? He was in an ashram in Amsterdam, wearing white linen robes. And so Shlomo, you found a tape of Shlomo going and met and went to meet Shlomo Kalbach at a concert. You know, 45 years later, he's a beautiful family and lives in Shalayim. Meaning, like, there was a tremendous yearning. The yearning wasn't me to. Where did that yearning come from? Shlomo said it came when Yerushalayim came back together. Yerushalayim habnu akir shechub alayachta. There's a little bit of a glimmer of hope. Rebbe Yashiv Zatzal said Reishit Tzmichas Gvul Aseinu. Rebbe Yashiv himself, no less than Rebbe Yashiv, Rebbe Shalom Yashiv Zatzal, said Hanitzanim Neruba Aretz. There's a flower, something's happening here. And Rebbe Freifeld stood outside on Route 17 when the Jews were, the cars were, he just sat there and waved. His long beard just waved. But they should see the tzura of a traditional Jew. They see what a traditional Jew looks like. Somehow connect that yearning with their future, with something in the past. But Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Samson Fall Hirsch, Shimson Fall Hirsch explains, what does it mean, Ir HaKodesh? It's a holy city. Ir, what's the word Ir mean also besides for a city?
No.
Huh?
The Holy Land.
Holy Land, that's Eretz. But an Ir... His ori, wake up. Hit orer, to wake up. Ir HaKodesh, Yerushalayim wakes up. Kedusha. And it wakes up our desire to be connected to something holy. So the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, after the Six-Day War, there was a whole discussion, there was a diyun, as to, okay, now, Har HaBayit Biyadenu, whatever, Keviyachal, really Har HaBayit Liyadenu, not really, there's no sovereignty on the Temple Mount. It's the irony that during these days, our enemies, that the haters of the Jewish people, and all of those who support them in the world, their attention is focused so much on what's happening on the Temple Mount in Har Bayis. There's a whole question of whether or not you can put metal detectors in the Har Bayis. It's such a joke, it's such an embarrassment, such a degradation. When the Gemara talks about Shul and Holchaba, that there was foxes walking on it, I don't think they could have imagined how degrading it possibly could be, how low it could possibly get. But Kal Yisrael was on the lowest level of the 49th level of Tumah in Mitzrayim. We have to turn it around. We're getting there, we're really getting there. A little bit more deeper into the revealed great wellspring. But there was a whole discussion. There was a whole discussion about now that the Temple Mount is in our hands, so to speak. So there's a whole discussion about that. Like, okay, so now, there's a question in the Rambam, whether or not we're able to bring a korban, even if we don't have the actual temple. In other words, if we have a restored Eretz Yisrael, a restored temple now. You have the place there, but without a temple. Is it possible? The Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Parakvot, you can be makriv korban even if there's not a Beis HaMikdash. Korban Pesach Ba Batuma. So Lachem Machamash Shalayamim Kasher Yer Hatika Ba Baribonit Medinas Israel, after the 6 Day War, and the Jewish quarter was restored to Jewish sovereignty, and the Temple Mount was Biadeinu. So there's a discussion amongst Rabbanim and Postim and Gedolei HaDor. What do we do? Like, are we able to prepare for bringing Korbanos or not? You know, Im Makam HaMizbeach Ma'akev, is having the Makam HaMizbeach itself Ma'akev, does that prevent us from bringing the Korban? Ha'im Bigdei Kahuna, is that Ma'akev? The kelim of the mikdash, is that ma'akev? The question halacha. So the Ger Rebbe says, listen, even if we were able to work our way through all these different halachic details, of the big day kahuna, priestly garments, and we're able to work out specifically the makom, the place of the mizbeach, and we're able to figure out all the different process that's involved in bringing an actual korban, in the end of the day, Gerava said, Adain eni roesh yesh lanu tzibur. I don't see that we have a community. I don't see that we have a tzibur. Is there unity? Are the people together?
No.
Is there a consensus? So even if we're able to perform the technical aspects of bringing the korban pesach, the main expression of the korban pesach is brought the chabura. It's brought in the context of a community. And so long as the community is divided, so long as the people are not together, so the Beis HaMikdash can't exist. In other words, as long as there are people fighting about this issue, the irony is that fighting is what's preventing the actual resolution of it. So even if technically you'd be able to figure out some way to be matir korbanos, because there is this pirud, because there is this, then it's just not able to happen. Beis HaMikdash lo omed kisha'am Yisrael matzui b'matzav shal sinas chinam. Heard it. Bottom of 126. The temple does not stand. It cannot stand. It will not stand when there is a state of sinas chinam. It's unbelievable that, like, some of these hot button topics, these most painful topics, without saying what's right and what's wrong, and who's right and who's wrong, and what's true and what's not true, and what's real and what's wrong, and whatever, who's right and who's wrong, irrelevant. But that so much attention this year is focused on the Kotel Plaza and the way Jews can daven at the Kotel Plaza, the way Jews are able to, and all the different groups, finding their territory, contradistinction to other groups, without getting into who's right and who's wrong. We don't need to read the article. You just have to know that there's a headline about it, and it's already profound. My daughter applied to a high school. I want to be careful how I say it. She's going to ninth grade. Our second daughter is going to high school next year, to ninth grade. And there were three schools that she was considering. Three, you know, like the Princeton, Yale, and Harvard of the Haredi, Le'umi, Chardali, like, put box, you know, box of box, box, narrow expression of boxes that, like, she, you know, sees herself fitting into, whatever. And one of them, we went to check out all three, and I'm not cynical, but this process can bring out a very strong side of people. And like I said, in the car, like, as much as they're interviewing you, like, you're interviewing them. My wife is like, okay, you know, whatever, like, maybe, you know, it's not. And I'm like, no. So these people are going to ask us questions, and we're going to ask them questions too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I have a very, very... anybody here learn the Har Tzion? Anybody learn the Vishnu? So Rav Amital Zatzal, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of the generation. Rav Amital once, who was an institutional man. Anybody hear of Rav Amital? Rav Amital was an institutional man, yeah? He built the yeshiva that had a very strong shita, a very clear shita that was different than other yeshivas in Gush. And politically had very strong, specific opinions that differentiated him from everybody else, just about. He was specific, meaning he broke from the consensus in many ways and had shitot. He had very specific ideas of what should be and what shouldn't be. Rav Amital said, when people are coming to ask about the yeshiva and its approaches and whatever, a guy would want to know about the high school and about the yeshiva and all the different philosophies. Rav Amital said, let me tell you what I told the menahel of the schools that my sons went to check out. Your job as an institution is one thing and one thing only. Don't mess up my kid. Teach them Torah. Just don't get in the way of their development as a person. Don't tell them how to think. Don't tell them what to think. Just teach them Torah. Give them kelim for limud Torah and don't mess them up. So one of the three places that we went to, which was a very special place that we have very good friends with, same kids are in a wonderful place. We met the menahel. The guy was on fire for Yiddishkeit. Ferton. Liked the school very, very much. Three or four close friends were going there. It's considered like, you know, one of these elite Cardali schools. While we were there, you know, getting raked over the coals, like, you know, asking us, like, everything that we do and don't do. So the Ferton, I told her, ask the girls what they do for fun. I find out, like, what they do for fun, what they enjoy doing, what are they doing their shaot p'nai in their free time, whatever. Again, I'm not saying bad, but, like, I'm just saying. There was a thing, Alpi the Eitzah of Gedolei Yisrael, that, you know, everyone knows in Rosh Chodesh, it's a day of, you know, that Yechezkel Navi says that there's a certain gate in the Beis HaMikdash, so it was always closed, it was open, and Jews had access to the Beis HaMikdash in a different way than they did in other days. And that opening of the gate created renewal. And in light of this teaching that we're learning, that renewal and that openness of that gate and that going deeper and closer inside the Kedusha meant that people were together going in there. There's more access. And when there's access, that means that there is people together. So in our generation, Rosh Chodesh is a day at the Kotel where Jews are fighting with each other. The woman of the wall, the woman at the wall. There's coming to with Talaim to take Sefer Torah, and then there's pictures that are insane. I don't usually read the articles. It's insane. Women coming to take Sefer Torah, what they're doing at the Kotel is Chil Hashem. And then I'll see that Chil Hashem and raise you one by throwing things at you and calling you Nazi and Shiksa and fighting with you. I was like, I'm gonna outdo your Chil Hashem with my own. You think you know how to make a Chil Hashem and abrogate Jewish tradition and trample on the Kavod Torah? So I'll show you how to do it. And there's like this, like everyone trying to like jockey one up each other, who could just be more grotesque in their behavior and slam the door shut of that inner place of the Beis HaMikdash, you know, even tighter. Yeah? So what this school does, like there's the Gedolei Yisrael or whatever, but I don't know who decided, who didn't decide. I didn't read the articles. The headlines are enough for me. Scroll past the headlines. They was like, here's what we're going to do. Because these women come to make a Chil Hashem at the Western Wall, so we're going to send, we don't want Bachram to see, because Bachram are idiots, and they say stupid things. Sorry. I'm sorry for you. You know? So we're going to send hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Beis Yaakov girls, and they're going to come, and they're going to daven there, and they're going to use prayer as protest. And we're going to fill up the Kotel wall. They get there at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now he says thousands and thousands and thousands of Erlich Beis Yaakov girls who have no idea what the hell is going on, don't know the issues, don't know what's flying, but whatever, they go because they're told to go, because of what the school's doing. They're going to pack the Kotel Plaza, so that these other women can't get there to make... You understand? So what is the school that we're checking out here like this? Like, no? Then they also go. And I was like, that's part of what they do on Rosh Chodesh. They go. The girls were saying they go and they had whistles and they make noise. And I thought, like, playing. And like my daughter thought that was really awesome. She thought that was really cool. She thought that was great. She's like, yeah, you can't let Neshot HaKotel make a Chil Hashem the Kotel. So I'm like, oh, so what's the answer? She's like, so they go and they blow whistles and make noise there, and as she's describing, she's like, and they go and daven out loud. So I said, right. Understand? I don't claim to have an answer, but at least I don't claim to have an answer. It's not a punishment that the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist. It's just a consequence. It's a reality. Hand in the flame, hand gets burned. We're not respectful of one another. There's sinas chinam. Then there's not a Beis HaMikdash. It's not a punishment. It's just a reality. Temple cannot stand. There cannot be hashras hashchina if there is the fire of machlokas. Ish v'isha, when there's people together, there's a relationship that's based on mutual respect, listening, giving kavod to the other, not agreeing. So then it can be shechina. But if there's an eish machlokes, oy vavod.
Beis HaMikdash lo omeg sh'am Yisrael matzoy b'matzav sh'osin haschina. Od pam, ein ze begeder onesh, ela ze metzius. Kishein lo beis HaMikdash es koach ha-tzibur sh'am Yisrael amutchad, mitmotet, it just can't stand there. It's not possible. I told my daughter, I said, you know, the other source is going to also says that the great enemy of Torah and the generations is the reforming and the Neshot HaKotel. Fine, but I don't know that that's a way for you to spend the Rosh Chodesh davening. Have it daven during davening. Have it daven during davening instead of blowing whistles and using prayer as a something to prod. Or is it? It's not a place for a 14-year-old girl to get involved in. So I did not have to go to this. L'chein pashut. Shemechadei lekarev et ha-gula alein ala amol alein in ha-achdus. There has to be one of amelus. They talk about amelus in Torah, effort in Torah. Mitzvos take mesiras nefesh. Matzah costs a lot of money. We made matzah together this year. Afino matzah. It takes real work. It takes real work. It takes effort. Redling, it takes real work. Right? You did it in yeshiva?
Yeah.
Schwitzed out. And it costs a lot of money. To buy arba minim costs a lot of money. To buy clothing which conforms to the standards of halacha sometimes is more challenging than buying that which is not. Buying the hashkachos, buying clothes, is more expensive. In malaso, paying for yeshiva and private school education costs a lot of money. My father's five closest friends that he worked with his entire life, for over 35 years in Wall Street, in three different firms, maintained relations with five guys. Four of them are Gentiles and one is Jew. Steve Schrager is the Yid. Each of them, and none of them are, Steve is a wonderful man, not ritually observant in any way. Each of them, they all on the same similar pay scale all the years. At the end of those 35 years, so each of those people owns a second home somewhere. Their first home is fully paid for and humongous. They have, two kids, two and a half kids, maybe. No, I'm being serious. Each one of them has a dog, literally. Literally. And they own a house upstate or in Florida. And every year, cruise, vacation. My parents sent us to yeshiva. That, over the course of the year, over the years, four children at full tuition, from K through YU, times four, is that house in Florida, is that mortgage, is that those cruises, those trips, it's Mesirat Nefesh. It's Mesirat Nefesh. At our Shalom Zachar, at our son's Shalom Zachar, our Mitzvah Shalom Zachar, my father spoke about it. He spoke about it. He spoke about the investment, about the choices that a person makes. It's Mesirat Nefesh. To be a Jew who lives with Torah and loses Yiddishkeit, it takes Mesirat Nefesh. And it's a choice that I mean, as Hashem, we're all happy to make. It's part of what it is. Right? It's hot out. You're not going to wear tzitzis? Because hot, it's uncomfortable? Because it's not going to conform to the standards of halacha because it's uncomfortable? No. No, we're doing this. Give part of our income, even though we'd rather spend that money on something, we give it because it's a mitzvah. We're mostly never from mitzvahs. Loving those who we disagree with, treating those with honor and respect who we disagree with, who frustrate us with their opinions, who frustrate us with their shitos, who we feel aggravated by or threatened by because of their different hashkafos, takes Mesiras Nefesh. It takes Mesiras Nefesh. It's eating nuts and raisins another day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. You're not gonna break, bust out a box of donuts. Mesiras Nefesh. Amru Chazal shekol mi shelo nivne beis hamikdash b'yamav kilu nechrav b'yamav. We don't allow the temple to be expressed, to be manifest as a place. Because we haven't created a community or an environment. We haven't created a space for Jews who think differently, look differently, live differently, to be okay with one another. Im Yishlach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on Mikdash HaShlishi Meshamayim. If God himself were to send down the third temple from the heavens, which is the descent, Toch Kama Dakot Yichalila Yipol, it would implode, it would disintegrate, it wouldn't be able to exist. Because of the disunity, the dissension, the Klal Yisrael, it wouldn't be able to express itself. This doesn't mean that everyone has to daven the same nusach. It doesn't mean that everyone has to see the world the same way. Adarabba, the shivim panim l'Torah. Kishem she'ein parts of fame don't exist because we look differently, we think differently. You know, a problem that somebody has different color eyes than us, somebody has different color hair than us. The Gemara Baruch says the same way that someone has different eyebrows and different bone structure in the face, they have different opinions. A different way of seeing things. Shivim panim l'Torah, panim l'Torah means there's different faces of Torah. That's the way it is meant to be. That's the way it ought to be. God doesn't want us to all line up and bow down to the flag and say, "Yes, yes, this is what we believe. This is what we all believe. The same thing." That's not how Hashem made the world. That's not the way Hashem made us. When the Boyana Rebbe was here 10 years ago or so, the Boyana Rebbe came to visit. He came from Sacred Lake and came to visit camp. He had a couple nieces here who were working in the blocks. He said a beautiful teaching. The pasuk says, "Yishlichu Shemayim Eretz Teferet Yisrael." The Teferet Yisrael, the glory of the splendor of the Jewish people in the Churban Beis Hamikdash, thrown to the floor. And in Tiferes Yisrael, the glory of the Jewish people is represented by a tefillin. And in tefillin, there are four parshios. There are four different parchments in the tefillin. Tefillin Shal Rosh and Tefillin Shal Yad. The difference between the Tefillin Shal Rosh and the Tefillin Shal Yad is that each one of the parshios, the scrolls of the Tefillin Shal Rosh, are in its own specific compartment. You open up the bayit container of the Tefillin Shal Rosh, you'll see that each one has its own compartment. Yeah. Whereas in the Tefillin Shal Yad, there's only one compartment and they're all together. So the Boyana Rebbe, Tefillin Shal Rosh corresponds to man's conscience, to our intellect, to our thoughts, to our belief system, to our machshavos, our philosophy, to our way of seeing the world. And when it comes to our ideas, our ideology, our philosophy, our theology, our thoughts, our ideas, it has to be that every single person has their own ideas compartmentalized. But when it comes to the hand, which represents action, the way we interact with each other, and the tefillin shayad that sits corresponding to the heart, the way we feel about one another, those four parchments are in one bias because there can be no pirud levavos. When it comes to the heart, to the way we feel about another Jew, we're family's family. You disagree, and it's good to disagree. Two Jews, three opinions. Chiluk Deos are part of it, but pure that can't come at the expense of pure levavos. Rav Ari Levine was the great tzaddik of Yerushalayim. Rav Ari Levine used to give a shiur in Kabbalah that Rosh Yeshiva of America's Harav would come to, and the Dayanim of the Eid HaRedos would come. It all come together and said the shiur. People would say how extraordinary it is. Rav Ari Levine, it was, everybody loved him, he got along with everyone. Did anyone here read Tzaddik in our time? Okay. Tzaddik in our time, anyone? Okay, it's good. No? It's worthwhile to recommend it very strongly. I'm not sure what people do anymore in the year in Israel. I don't know what people do anymore. It was Rav Ari Levine was known as the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, and he had an amazing ability to just transcend all different ways and different communities. One time he was walking in the street, and he was beloved by Jews who were observant, the non-observant. There was a traditional Jewish Sephardi guy who was walking down the street and saw that the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim was walking in his a short little man with a big white beard and a big smile, and he wore a long coat, up hat, And he was walking in the street, and he had a bad leg, and he was shuffling along. And as he was approaching him in Yerushalayim, this big, strong, you know, young, you know, Israeli Sephardi soldier saw him and got embarrassed. And Bar Levin said to him, Shalom Aleichem. And the soldier, this guy, he said, you know, he wasn't wearing, he said, Kvod Rav, you know, I'm so embarrassed. I'm wearing kippah, you know, slicha, I'm so sorry, you know, I to be insulting. And Bar Levin looked at him and said, I don't know what you mean. He said, no, I left with Gilui Rosh, you know, I'm walking in the street, like Gilui Rosh, you know, lo na'imli. Lo na'imli, it's lo mechubad, it's not appropriate, it's not respectful. Rabbi Levin looked at him and said, I'm sorry, you're a big, strong person, and I'm very short. I only come up to your heart, I'm not able to see what's on your head. Yeah, that's it. Some should help us that we only come up to each other's hearts, and that we don't worry about what's on a person's head and in their head, on their head or not on their head, but that we should be zocha to create a metzius, to create a reality of accepting others and loving others, loving Klal Yisrael, loving every Jew as our family, as our brother, as our sister, and then we will just create. Not as a reward. We won't be rewarded with the Beis HaMikdash. It won't be a reward. It'll just be a reality that Achdus Yisrael and the oneness of the Jewish people will necessitate that there be a vessel, a kli, a house, a place for us to enjoy together.
Thank you everyone for making time to learn together.